Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2, Faculty of Social Science. First of all, we are going to study about the poetry. What is poetry? Poetry is the sister of sorrow. Every man that suffers and weeps is a poet. Every tear is a verse and every suffering heart a poem. Said by Andre. According to the great literary philosopher Carlyle, poetry is musical thought. One of the greatest English critics, Hazlitt, says, poetry is the language of the imagination and passions. It relates to whatever gives immediate pleasure or pain, for nothing but what comes home to them. In the most general and intelligible shape can be a subject for poetry. Poetry is the universal language which the heart holds with nature and itself. Poetry is that fine particle within us that expands, rarefies, refines our whole being. Without it, man's life is poor as beasts. Man is a poetic animal. According to William Wordsworth, poetry is the spontaneous overflow of powerful feeling that is recollected in tranquility. Thus, the poetry is no doubt graver, deeper, and wider than history and other subjects. It is very difficult to define what poetry is. Hundreds of definitions have already been made by poets and critics of literature, yet it is still not fully defined. To know what poetry is, it is very necessary to know the development of poetry, but before it is also necessary to know the nature and forms of the poetry. By the term poetry, we mean imaginative words written in verse using words which are charged with emotions and are unlike the words used in prose, whose object is to give information. Though poetry can exist without verse, the latter has become almost essential to the former. Thus, for poetry, vehemence of passions and emotions and the skill and art are necessary for poetry. So, the great poet and critic S.T. Coleridge writes, poetry is best words in their best order. Matthew Arnold says, poetry is a criticism of life under the laws of poetic truth and poetic beauty. As these various definitions of poetry shows, what we call poetry, it is nothing but words actually arranged and intended to yield meaning through suggestions capable of giving pleasure to the leader. Thus, word of form and meaning or content emerge as the two constituents of poetry, which are so intellectual that they cannot be separated from each other. Form implies structure and style that the poet employs for his purpose and cannot pertain to the idea revealed by the poem as a whole. Carlyle says, poetry is a musical thought, while William Wordsworth writes, poetry is the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. So, music and feeling both are the fundamental basis of poetry. Thirdly, as Coleridge says, poetry is best words in their best order. So, here, best order means the skill and the art of the poet. Thus, the music, the feeling, and the skill create poetry. What is poetry? There is a sonnet on it. Poetry is the spirit of celestial soul. There is the truth, the good, and the beauty. It's divine. It hath immortal goal to power the peace and joy and humanity. Poetry is the power of Almighty God. It comes from heaven into the heart of poet. There it arouses the emotion of Lord that changed the life even of a dacoit. Poetry is the knowledge of all human race. It teaches the path of progress with delight and brings the glory and gravity with the grace to gain the sublimity for the highest fight. So, poetry is the light of all the time. It is spiritual for its rhyme. Forms of poetry. English poetry has assumed numerous forms. There are some well-known and the most representative forms. They are the following. First, epic. An epic is a very long poem consisting of several books or cantos dealing with the life of a national hero or heroine intended to inspire the life of the nation by means of its description of the essential of the culture of the country. The Paradise Lost and The Paradise Regained by John Milton are the best example of epic poetry in English. An epic is thus a monumental piece of literature which lives for all the time. It continues to inspire or be sung from generation to generation. Second, lyric. Lyric is a sort of subjective poem, the product of the poet's strongly felt emotions. It is noted for its music, subjectivity, spontaneity, effortlessness, and naturalness. P.B. Shelley's stanza written in dejection near Naples is one of the best examples of lyric poetry in a natural manner and seems to be the cry of the poet's heart, pure and simple. W.B. Yeats, The Lake Isle of Innisfree, is also a very good lyric, very musical, personal and spontaneous. Elegy. An elegy is a special kind of lyric, special poetry because it is invariably sad and melancholy. It is a song of lament and mourning on the death of someone dear to the poet. John Milton's Lycidas is one of the best examples of an elegy in English literature. Ode. An ode is also a variety of lyrical poetry, but it is somewhat less natural than the lyric proper, its style being lofty and dignified. Shelley's Ode to the West Wind and Keats' Ode to the Nightingale are the best odes in the English language. Ballad. A ballad is a group song telling a story, usually sad and painful, using a stanza form called ballad stanza, in which four lines form a unit. Ballads were very popular during the Middle Ages. The Romantic poets of the 19th century revived the tradition of ballad writing. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by S.T. Coleridge and La Belle Dame sans Merci by John Keats are very good examples of modern ballads. Sonnet. A sonnet is a kind of lyric poetry in 14 lines. It has two forms, Italian or Petrarchan sonnet and English or Shakespearean sonnet. The former has two parts, octave and sestet. Octave consists of first 8 lines and sestet of the last 6 lines. Its rhyme scheme is ABBA, ABBA, CDE, CDE, On His Blindness by John Milton is roughly an Italian sonnet. The Shakespearean sonnet has three quatrains and a couplet. Its rhyme scheme is A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, E, F, E, F, Z, Z. The development of the poetry. The English poetry, what we look today, undoubtedly has been developed by many philosophers of poetry and men of letters. It can be divided under the following heads. First, the Elizabethan and Jacobean age. Second, the Caroline age. Third, the 18th century. Fourth, the Romantic revival. Fifth, the Victorian age. Sixth, the 20th century. The English poetry before the Elizabethan and Jacobean age has also a long history. The father of modern English poetry, Geoffrey Chaucer, was much impressed by French love poetry and Italian Dante's Divine Comedy. The last period of Chaucer's poetic career is known as the English period. His The Canterbury Tales marks the dawn of a new era. It was he who for the first time discarded the elements of medievalism and turned his eyes to the life and people of his time. He presented the realism and the elements of Renaissance in his poetry. He was the first great national poet of England. After Chaucer, there is a long history of development of English poetry. The poet like John Gower, William Langland, John Barber, etc. developed the poetry. English poetry in the 15th century is generally to be the barren age in literature, yet there have been composed two types of poetry. First, courtly or official poetry. Second, popular or folk poetry. During this age, Thomas Oglethorpe, John Lydgate, Stephen Heaps, Alexander Berkeley, etc. are considered remarkable poets. Then came 16th century. First, the Elizabethan and Jacobean age. There was a great flowering of English poetry in this age, which may be taken to cover the latter years of the reign of Henry VIII, the reigns of Edward, Mary Tudor, Elizabeth I, and finishing with the reign of James I. The period witnessed the height of the Renaissance of learning. The religious upheavals of the Renaissance and a new type of nationalism. Primarily, it is the age of Shakespeare, an age which produced great dramatic poetry in the plays of Shakespeare himself, Marlowe, Ben Jonson, and others. During these ages, Edmund Spenser, Thomas Watt, Sir Philip Sidney, and Suré are the most important poets of the age. Second, the Caroline Age. This age mostly started with the reign of Charles I and ends with the reign of William III, 1688 to 1702. The period of William III. The poets writing in this period are sometimes styled the metaphysical, the cavalier poets, the Puritan poets, and the neoclassical school. The metaphysicals included John Donne, George Herbert, Richard Crashaw, and Henry Vaughan. They brought to poetry a new subtlety, dwelling on flights of fancy and strange conceits. So, that the meaning of their poetry is not always clear. The theme of their poetry is often religious. The Cavalier poets such as Herrick, Suckling and Lovelace were gay lyricists, writing to give pleasure, while the Puritan poets, of whom Marvell and Milton are the examples, wrote on somber and lofty themes. The neoclassical school turned away from metaphysical obscurity and disregarded the poetical rules. A stress on reason and sense becomes marked, and poetry becomes an instrument for satire. Particularly by Samuel Butler and John Dryden, the 18th century, this was the age of clubs and coffee houses in London, and poetry reflects this in its treatment of town life rather than country life. The main poets of this age are Alexander Pope and Dr. Johnson. Along with these poets, there are Oliver Goldsmith, James Thomson, Thomas Gray, William Collins, William Cowper, George Crabbe, William Black, and Robert Burne. Fourth, the Romantic Revival. This period in English poetry is generally reckoned to begin with the publication in 1798 of the Lyrical Ballads by William Wordsworth and Coleridge. Romantic Revival is no doubt one of the greatest revolutions in English poetry. The other poets of this age are Scott, Southey, Byron, Shelley, and Keats. Fifth, the Victorian Age. This period is named on the name of Queen Victoria. This is the age of great changes in English history. Scientific and materialistic developments are at their highest peak. Three great Victorian poets, Tennyson, Browning, and Arnold, did much to change the phase. The Victorian Age also produced a new school of aesthetic poets called the Pre-Raphaelites, who wrote poetry for the aesthetic pleasure of the word pictures. The poets of this school are D.J. Rushdie, William Morris, and A.G. Swinburne. There also begins a new school that is described as a symbolical school. Oscar Wilde, Arthur Symons, and Ernest Dowson are sometimes called the decadents. They are also known as the first of the modern poets. 6. The 20th century. This age is known as the modern age in English poetry. No doubt there comes a great change in English poetry. Rudyard Kipling has been called the first poet of this era. In this age, two great world wars took place. The style and theme both are different. New rhymes, absence of rhymes, strange twists to words and phrases are tried. The poets of this age, T.S. Eliot, W.B. Yeats, Ezra Pound, are regardable. Thank you. This is the end of introduction of poetry.